Fine. So, right towards the beginning of our sugya, the Gemara is going to, as it does often, invoke this rule, Chsuri Mechsara V'Hachi Katani, right? Arguing that if you want to understand the Mishnah, so you need to assume that there are words missing, right? Now, right off the bat, there are many ways of understanding that phrase. One way is an actual editorial claim, like, oh, this Mishnah doesn't make sense. It probably means that at some point in the editing, we lost a sentence, and it actually should say X, Y, and Z, right? That's one way. The second way, which is functionally equivalent but different, would be not that the text is wrong, but that the meaning, in order to understand the meaning, you have to assume that there is an unstated few words. Now, why would you say that? I mean, the first one I understand. The first one just says, look, the mission doesn't make any sense as it is, but it makes sense if you assume that there was an editorial mistake, you know, there was a whatever, and therefore I have to add the words. Why would you say that the Mishnah actually can't be understood as such, and you have to assume that there was some sort of, you know, ellipsis assumed in it? So, what would you say?
Because in order to make sense, you have to stick in the words, but you don't think there was an actual error.
Right, and so why would the Mishnah write it that way? Right, meaning, the question is, why would the Mishnah write it that way then?
It's a question of why would we understand it that way. It's because we want to say that nothing was a mistake when it was written down.
Oh,
we'd rather say that.
Well, the first one also assumes there's no mistake when it was written down. It's just that we have a mistaken Mishnah, right? That's the first one just says, look, the Mishnah was fine, but this is, you know, well, I don't know, we got some bad manuscript. So,
right, but that's
the second one assumes we got a good manuscript. It just, to understand it, you need to assume that it implies other words.
So we want to understand it better, maybe.
So why wouldn't the Mishnah just say what it meant, right? Why doesn't it? So, I mean, we'll see, but some will explain, possibly, and this comes back to actually what we said last week, is that the Mishnah was learned bal peh.
Right.
And sometimes when you're too wordy, right, you gain clarity, but you lose brevity, and therefore you lose the flow, and therefore it's harder to memorize. Right? Sometimes it's much better to say, look, we'll write a pithy Mishnah, and we'll explain the tradition as we're teaching it, and then people, like, you know, these are the mnemonics. Like, you know, okay, I remember the basic discussion, which is the Mishnah, and then, you know, I remember the tradition around it. So there's a whole group of Mefarshim who take one of those two approaches. Either that Chzuri Mechzer of HaKitani is, like, you know, like the Haggadah Bach, right? There's actually a missing word. This is the correct text, is the new one that we now reproduce. The second approach, meaning, no, it's not, but that is the meaning of it. It's just that, whatever, for mnemonic reasons, for brevity, memory reasons, whatever it's going to be, the Mishnah decided to not spell everything out. So that, if you look at the beginning here, Rabbeinu Bachya takes the first approach. Rabbeinu Bachya says, Eina kavana. Sometimes you just Google. There's this is from, like, one of those Daf Yomi websites. They put together these source sheets with, like, you know, helpful makaras on, like, these, you know, not like the central topic to the sugya, but like these parenthetical, not parenthetical, these, I don't know what you even call them. You know, these
conceptual. They're trying to explain.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're not the sugya things.
Tangential.
They're tangential lexical things, and, you know, they put together very nice makara sheets. So they're right. Ain't it so that Rabbeinu Bachya, I mean, I wouldn't have thought to look in Shmos Lamed Daled for Rabbeinu Bachya's comments on Chzuri Mechzer. Okay, fine. But here it is. Ain't a kavana lihyot a Mishnah chaseira klal chalila. It doesn't mean that the Mishnah, like Rabbi Huda Hanasi, was wrong. A kavana shi chaseira etzleinu. It means Rabbi presumably wrote it correctly and clearly. We got a bad manuscript. He doesn't have a manuscript error. He just says, this is sort of the third version of that same thing, which is, we don't understand how it's implied clearly, right? Meaning, we think that it seems like it's lacking and that it should be clearer. But if we were as smart as the people in the Mishnah, we would understand that everybody would know that. Now, to be fair, sometimes that is true. I find that not so compelling in every Chsuri Mechzer V'Achnani. It's not always untrue, right? This is, right, Carmi, with the case of Chumash, likes talking about this. That, you know, in Chumash, sometimes you look at Chazal, and they read in, like, you know, the opposite of what you think the text says. So he has an article called A Pshat in the Dark. Well played. But the thesis...
He's so brilliant.
Oh my God, he is. It's unbelievable. He's, yes. But he makes the point there that it's not actually crazy. Not because, you know, you don't necessarily have to say what Rabbeinu Bachya says, that, oh, we aren't magiyim lo, right? I mean, if you just read the end of the sentence, m'nei she'einanu magiyim lo omek chochmat dor shel chachmei ha-mishnah. Very simply, he just said, I mean, he gives one example, I'll give another example. If in, you know, a thousand years from now, someone, a scholar of ancient English, you know, English of the year 2018, were to read, I don't know, a Facebook message, a sort of unofficial note that someone wrote to someone, and it said, it was literally negative 300 degrees today. And so they would look at an ancient English dictionary and they would say, oh, the word literally means actually, as in not metaphorically, right? And therefore they would say, you see that there was an ice age in Toronto in 2018 because it was negative 300 degrees. But they wouldn't know that, no, the word literally means not literally. Does that make any sense? It makes absolutely no sense. It goes against the dictionary, it goes against everything. And yet, the person who would say, no, it's not, literally doesn't mean literally, literally means not literally, right, would be correct, just because that's, for whatever reason, why the way that we learn, use the word literally sometimes, not always, right? And you couldn't even figure it out, because sometimes it would say, he was literally 7'2". And it means he was 7'2", not he was 6'5", he was 7'2". Sometimes it's negative 300 degrees means it's not literally negative 300 degrees. You wouldn't even know from context. Like, how would you know? And if you didn't know how tall people were, so you wouldn't know that someone being 7'2" is actually possible. Negative 300 degrees is not possible in Toronto. Because if someone said he was literally 10 feet tall, we all would assume that literally 10 feet tall probably isn't literal. Literally 7'2", we'd say that probably is literal. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be shocked. But so it's possible to make a Rabbeinu Bachya argument without saying, oh, they're just smarter than us, but it's always possible that there were certain conventions in terms of writing or certain assumed traditions that we don't know. Now, that doesn't work in every Chsuri Mechzera, but it sometimes would work. I mean, sometimes it does work. Sometimes, you know, we know there's a dot, 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 you know? Admittedly, in Chazir Mechzera is very hard, because the detail to which you go sometimes for Chazir Mechzera is, I mean, it could be, but...
Okay, but in the path that Gerard has sent some of us, I'm not even going to say, I mean, part of what he discusses is its context. You have the Mishnah was written at one point. Yeah, the Gemara, which a lot of it is taking place in Bavel, and they don't know the history of Israel, they don't have the context, so they're trying to interpret something where they're trying to interpret based on what they're seeing, which is exactly what you're saying, versus reality.
So Rabbeinu Bach is simultaneously assuming two things, right? One is that the generation of the Mishnah was fundamentally smarter than the generation of the Gemara, and that two, the generation of the Gemara is fundamentally more knowledgeable. The generation of the Gemara is in a weird middle place, where they know the culture of the Mishnah enough that if they worked at it, they could figure out what was assumed. We wouldn't even be able to figure that out, but yes, right? Rabbeinu Bachya is assuming that, you're right, sometimes And this is often true when there's Malkus Bavli and Yerushalmi. You just feel like, okay, one of them, well, you know, one of them got it right, one of them didn't get it right. You know? Meaning if they have a
question of right and wrong. You both had different information.
Well, I mean, one of them had, if they say opposite things about authorial intent, one of them has authorial intent, the other doesn't. Whether that makes a difference halakhically or not, we'll see. But, right, so sometimes you can just say, yeah, they were lacking tradition. Sometimes, now, it's also possible that it's not always the same. Sometimes Chazuri Mechzar V'Achdani, it's clear that, like, it just sounds like, okay, that's what's implied. Sometimes there's a tradition, sometimes. But Rabbeinu Bachya takes the approach that fundamentally, when we say Chazuri Mechzar V'Achdani, we mean the Mishnah means exactly what the Gemara says it means. The text is perfect. The meaning is assumed. The only reason it's not written in the text is because in the time of the Mishnah, they didn't need it. In the time of the Gemara, they needed it but couldn't figure it out. And we couldn't figure it out. We need it, and therefore we need the Gemara to tell us Chzuri Mechzar V'Achitani. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Karo.
What is the pasuk he's referring to? In Shemot.
Shemot Lamed Daled.
Shmot
Lamed Daled. I don't know why this comes up here.
Well, I assume it has something to do with Chazal telling a story on this.
I don't even know. Yeah. It's Betoch. I don't know. It's a Shmot Lamed Daled. You're just pulling out a Chumash or. Lamed Daled Chav Zayin. Now, in the meantime, we'll continue the Rosh of Karo. Rosh of Karo has a sort of straightforward approach, which combines several of these sort of possibilities that I suggested. As follows, he says, Mipnei, he combines the Baal Peh Svara with the Baal Peh Svara with the missing word, the missing text, the editorial problem.
There's
and he says as follows.
There's no Chavzayin. Or Chav Gimel. Is it Chav Gimel?
He says Chavzayin. I don't know.
There's no Chavzayin.
So go with Chav Gimel.
Okay. Yeah, it could be. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef Karo, and again, I don't know what this, you know, what this is exactly, right? Klalei Gemara, Maran Rabbi Yosef Karo, Betoch Halichot Olam, Halichot Olam, I don't know what that is. Okay, fine. But, so he writes as follows. He says, Mipnei, Kshayu Shonim Al Peh, Garma Shichicha, B'Ktzat Mikomot, V'Shachechu, K'Ktzat Tevot. V'Lo Ratzah Rebbe, L'Chto, V'Lekal Asher, Shaita Shgura, B'Fi Rova Talmidim. So, Rebbe, so he said there is a missing words, but not that Rebbe wrote it fully, and then there were missing words, and then, meaning, I suggested it could just mean that Rebbe wrote it completely, and then we lost words in transmission. He suggests it's actually earlier than that. Meaning, Rebbe was collecting oral traditions and writing them down. Maybe Rebbe, meaning there was an oral tradition with full words 100 years before Rebbe, or 50 years before, whatever. And then Rebbe, when he wrote down the Mishnayot, realized that there were missing words, but he didn't change it, because since everyone had been learning Baal Peh, he just wrote it as it was, meaning as the tradition. And if, you know, everyone said it wrong, so he didn't stop them, right? Because you try to stop people, you know, I find this, that whenever you, right, I like to be machped on grammar, but if I, you know, so like when I'm benching, like I'll do it with proper grammar, but it confuses the heck out of people. And I remember that one of the Rebbeim when I was in camp many years ago was also machped on grammar. They had him bench once, but after the first time, all the students were confused out of their minds, right? Because instead of, you know, you're saying the first bracha, they're singing it out loud. Hazanet ha'olam kulo bitrei. Like, even just changing everything milara, everyone just loses it, right? They just don't know what they're doing. Like, once you sing things and you say it, Baal Peh, right? Don't mess with perfection, right? It just doesn't work. So Rebbe did the same thing. I mean, Rebbe was the one who said, look, I get it. There must have been an earlier tradition which was perfect. But then at some point, people started making mistakes. But if I try to change it more, they're going to forget it, the whole darn thing. So forget it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, you know, whatever, right? I won't. I'm not going to do this. Is this Chaf Gimel you said?
Yeah,
Chaf Gimel. Okay. So he said, forget the whole thing, right? I'll just write it as people say it, and people will have to figure it out. They're responsible to realize that there's clearly something that's off here. No, it is Chaf Zayin, you said.
Is it Chaf Zayin?
This is Chaf
Zayin. I can't read it properly.
Yeah, Chaf Zayin.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's on the pasuk that Chazal use about Dvarim Shevachtav Yeter Shalom Rabal Peh. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, fine. So that context, that's what he says. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
Right, because he said the Mishnah is the hidden things of God, and therefore God didn't want it written on the heart and not written on the thing. Yeah, he's going through why the Torah was originally written Baal Peh, and in that context, he writes this. Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Fine.
I didn't see the Chazal.
Right, it's the end of it. Right, he says that nitma'atu alivavot, then da 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 da, blah blah blah. Yeah, in that context, it's his whole history of Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, so possibility one, Rabbeinu Bachya, is that everything is perfect. The only thing that's not perfect is the Amoraim are less perfect than the Tanaim, and we're less perfect than the Amoraim. That's it. Rabbi Yosef Karo says, no. What's imperfect were the people who were transmitting the Mishnah from the original oral state to the generation of Rebbe. And Rebbe didn't want to confuse people more, so he said, forget it, I'm not going to change it. I'll write it down as it is, and he hoped that the next generation would figure it out, which means the Mishnah. So how do you understand the words? Chesuri Mechzer V'Achitani means the Mishnah that Rebbe wrote, he was writing it as he meant to write it, but his tradition was missing words from an earlier tradition, and he on purpose wrote it as such. But if you want to understand the original tradition, these are the words. So, Binigud Rabbeinu Bachya, who said that the original tradition of the Mishnah is the words we have,
right.
Rabbi Yosef Karo said the original Mishnah of Rebbe are the words we have, but the original Mishnah pre-Rebbe, like the original tradition, is Chzurei Mechzer Rav HaHachik Tani, is actually missing words, and you have to reconstruct it. Okay, Tiferes Yisrael, right? Rishon Lipshitz says as follows in the next source. He says, "Velule Mistafina Yenirli." If I weren't afraid of all these people, I would say as follows.
Okay, just going on to that one for 1 second. We normally come to this phrase after there is dialogue going back and forth where there is some contradiction that we can't resolve. Correct. And then this comes in as the last resort to resolve it.
Sometimes. I mean, in ours, it's yeah. In our mission, that's going to be what it's like.
Okay, well, okay. So in most cases that I recall,
yeah, it's
that's
it's
normally what happens.
Yeah, or it's just, or meaning it's just that the words don't make any sense, or, you know, and that's what's going to be here. Is that
how can a Tana hold like that? You know, it's going
to
be something.
But according to what Rabbi Yosef Karo is saying, that should have been the first step. In other words, they knew that this was missing. It was only copied for a certain reason.
Well, Rebbe knew. Rebbe knew. They don't necessarily know. I mean, Rebbe knew this.
So then how do we know those are the correct missing words then?
So then they're reconstructing it. Okay. Right, again, this is, I assume, assuming like Rebbe
Bach. So he's not saying there was a Masorah, it just wasn't put in
the that he doesn't say in these words. Again, you know, if I had known I was giving Shirin, I would have looked up all the sources inside, but I didn't. So I'm taking this, right now I'm taking a word, but at least all the references here are here, so we can look them up. Okay. So the Tiferes Yisrael says as follows. He says, Shahayu lehen zmirot miuchadin l'kol mishnah mishnah.
Zmirot.
Yeah, so that I said, it connects to last week.
Right.
Right? So I said, he said, what is this? As we said last week, right? Gemara, Gemara, Smurat today. It was a song. Lefinish Dadi Hayazah Kedil Khazaka Mishnah Bekoch Zikaron. Midahayu Shana Mishnah Al Pah feel be made Rebbe, because you know, Mishnah were Balpe. By Dani Gun is Garite Lishnah de Masnisen, Bashir Shayam Azamer, Azemer, Mr. Dalfi Milona Avava Bocham Mishnah.
Right.
But then what's the problem? We all know this. When you want to fit something to a tune, something's gotta go. Sometimes, you know, things just can't make sense, right? You just gotta. We make up new words, you know? It's like Shakespeare, right? He coined new phrases for poetry, poetic purposes. So he said the same thing happened.
Or
whatever, yeah, we make up whatever. There was a song, so we picked a word that sounded better in the tune, it rhymed better, whatever. So therefore, sometimes, right, if in order to understand it, you need 25 clarifying words, that doesn't make a good balanced song. You need balanced stanzas. So if the first statement is clear without clarifying words, so you come up with some sort of shorthand for the second one. And he said, even though, in a sense, it's missing words, like substantive words, it's okay, they left it that way. Because you could figure it out. Because otherwise, like in our Mishnah, if there aren't missing words, then the Mishnah will make no sense, because the story will contradict the halacha. So it's clear that it's, he holds this, he holds this, he holds the opposite. The story indicates to you that he argues with the first position, right? Otherwise, it's internally contradictory, right? The Rashi says, oh, sir, and then Ringam Leal goes and does it, right? Contradictions. The Gemara said no. The Tanakhama said it was Asur, and Ram Gliel said it was Mutter. And how do I know? Because he once did it. Right? That's what's going to happen in our Mishnah. So he said, you can figure out that there's something else. I mean, you read the Mishnah for a second, you know something's missing. It's not like they're hiding it. Some of them are more hiding it than this one. This one's pretty obvious. Something's off. Because if you mess up the stanzas, you mess up the memory, you mess up the song, you mess up the whole thing. Then you'll forget everything. And this will answer a lot of things. He said, even though the Mishnayot sometimes hide things in their perfect language, sometimes they don't, because the reason they're written the way they are is for beauty, for aesthetic purposes, for memory purposes, and therefore, if you have a reason to medayek something in the Mishnah, do it. If you don't, just chalk it up to literary sensibilities. So the first three positions, right, all in, but we'll read one more position that will all come to the same halachic upshot, even if they came out of different ways. Itamar Metzger, who I don't know who that is, but okay, he quotes from Adoni Mori Virabi, Shamati Shira Katuv, Dichde, you can look it up later who he is, I have mamash no idea. Kdei shetisha'er Torah shebal peh, Rebbe hichsir b'mechuvan dvarim v'mishnah k'tuva, v'u davar nifla. Rebbe wanted the Mishnah to remain at some level bal peh. So some Mishnah he just made incomprehensible, because this way there has to remain an oral tradition. Okay, now, first let me highlight what all of these four have in common, and then let's do what they have different. What they all have in common is the assumption that the Gemara is not trying to change the meaning of Rebbe. Whatever Rebbe said, or whatever the Tanaim said, is what the Gemara wants to recover. The only question is, how do you get there? Right. So then we saw four possibilities. But either the Mishnah, Bizman HaMishnah, was totally clear, the Amoraim weren't as smart as the Tanaim, and therefore they didn't understand it, so they needed to elaborate, and we're not as smart as the Gemara, so without their elaboration, we couldn't have figured it out. That's Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbi Yosef Karo said there was an imperfection, but the imperfection was before Rebbe. Right? Rebbe wrote the Mishnah as is. When the Gemara says that it means that the original tradition looked this way. Rebbe couldn't change it more than couldn't change it from what people were familiar with, and therefore he wrote it the way he is. But the Gemara again is just recovering the original tradition, right? So it's another way of getting at they're recovering the original tradition. Though here, unlike Reinu Bachya assumes that Rebbe's language should be self-evident. Rebbe Azokaro says, no, Rebbe's language should not be self-evident. In fact, Rebbe himself knew it wasn't clear, but he thought it was worth it because he didn't want to confuse people more. Idamar Metzger said, no, the Mishnah is perfect, Rebbe's tradition is perfect, but it's not Muvan. Right, I mean, right. We had this is the opposite of Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya is Rebbe was perfect, and it was Muvan. Idamar Metzger said, no, Rebbe was perfect, and part of his perfection was that he made it on purpose not Muvan, so that you would be forced to have oral traditions. And this comes to your question. I assume what he's saying is that there really was an oral tradition. That was the whole point, is that you had to write the Mishnah in such a way that would require oral traditions. And then you get the Tiferes Yisrael, who says, no, it is perfect, but it's perfect for literary reasons. Meaning, Rebbe sometimes chose unclarity if it was required to maintain literary perfection, which would enable memory. But he assumes that we only use Chazer Mechshavah Chachtani because, you know, you're not going to sacrifice clarity for the sake of literary beauty if you're never going to be able to figure out the content. So he said, in a case where any half-thinking human being could look at the Mishnah and realize that there's information missing, so then Rebbe would say, look, I'll just write it nicely, you'll be able to remember it, and then when you sit down to learn it, you know, you'll figure out, right? But presumably, according to the Tiferes Yisrael, if it really wasn't clear, you wouldn't expect a Sichzor and Mechzor, so we have to go through every time in Shas. Is that true? In our Mishnah, it is true. In our Mishnah, it's very clear, right? It says it's Aser, and then Rebbe Gamliel goes and does it. It's clear that what's implied is that Rebbe Gamliel thought it was Mutter, and here's a story about that, right? That's clear, right? And that's the example he gives. Is that true in every Chzor and Mechzor? I don't know.
What all four are saying is what we have as written text is perfect. They're coming to different angles on it, but they're saying that for whatever reason, whatever Rebbe wrote, and whatever we have in our Gemara is perfect.
Right, though in different ways, right? Meaning Rabbeinu Bachya said our text is perfect and was clear.
Right.
So Itamar Metzger said it's perfect because it's not clear.
Right.
Rabbi Yosef Karo said, well, Rabbi Yosef Karo doesn't say it's perfect. Rabbi Yosef Karo said,
he says it's perfect with intent. In other words, meaning, there are it's written in a way, but
no, so three out of four
is exact.
So three out of four of them do that. Tiferes Yisrael also says it's perfect because you could figure it out. Rabbi Yosef Karo said, no, it's not perfect. No, he said it's imperfect. He said Rebbe was right to do what he did, but the text is imperfect. He's the one who says it is imperfect. Meaning,
I'll clarify what I'm saying. He's saying the text that Rebbe wrote down has not been changed.
Since Rebbe. Correct.
And they're all four saying that.
All four are saying that. Rabbi Yosef Karo, out of these four, that was the only one who was saying that there was a mistake at some level, right? Meaning, Rabbi Bachya said there was never a mistake or unclarity. It was only unclarity that came later. Metzger said there was unclarity, that was the point. Tiferes Yisrael said there's minor unclarity, but it's worth it for literary sensibilities. And Rabbi Yosef Karo said there was actually a mistake, but it preceded Rebbe, and Rebbe made a conscious decision to favor the text that was used, even if it was imperfect. But yes, all four of them are saying, first of all, the text as we have it is what Rebbe meant to be down for whatever reason, and that two is that Amoraim can never argue with Tanaim, so however you get to it, what they're just trying to do is reconstruct the Tanaitic position. So that's those four positions. Now, we move to the other side of the equation. The Gra already starts chipping away at any of that, right? So the Gra says as follows. Veve Yodea. Kol chsuri mechsar shebetalmud b'shito tav, to lo chasra klal b'seder shesider Rabbeinu HaKadosh Amas Nisan. No, that every chsuri mechsara, it doesn't mean that Rebbe left something out. What does it mean? V'lav orcha shechiser davar, rak, to Rebbe sfirale kechad tana, da'alibe stama, V'lo chaser klal alibe. Ugmara svir like idach tana. V'alibe ka'amra ha'gmara chzurei mechzer v'achiktan. He said, no, no.
That's how we learn usually. That's how we learn the Gemara.
What?
That's how we learn Gemara usually. When the chaser. No? The way he's
explaining. No, I think not. I think we learn it in one of the first few.
Oh, no, I thought
right? So, you can. If you do, fine. But I think most people read as 1-4, right? The Gemara chips away at it. Okay, let's analyze what he says. He said, "Chzurei mechzer v'achiktani" doesn't mean. Again, it means that the Mishnah isn't missing anything, that he asserts. But he said what it does mean is not that it's imperfect, but that the Gemara isn't trying to reconstruct Rebbe, nor is it trying to reconstruct what Rebbe meant, nor is it trying to reconstruct a pre-Rebbe tradition. The Gemara is saying Rebbe may have written the Mishnah perfectly because he held Shita X, but we hold Shita Y because another Tana holds Shita Y. And therefore, Chzurei mechzer v'achiktani means, from a halachic perspective, Rebbe is incorrect. And if we wanted to write a Mishnah that would reflect our psak, meaning like the other Tana, you would have to rewrite it such and such. Right, meaning.
So that would be applicable when you have a Tosefta, when you bring a Tosefta that argues with the Mishnah.
So look at for just for a moment. Reb David Tzvi Hoffman, Laman LaHoel, and then we'll come back to that point. Okay. Says Amnam Nirli Delav V'Chol Chzurei Mechzera Amar Hagon LaHadam Elsa. He said he can't say this all the time. It doesn't work for all of them, right? You go through all of Shas. Not everyone is like this. Meaning, Oris isn't going to be like this. Oris is clear that there's something missing, right? Not every Chzurei Mechzera is like this. Keep emes. Yesh mekamot shechisar atana kamamilos. Right? Sometimes just a few words are missing. V'hinei Rashi zalomber b'feirsh b'vametzia shatana shachach v'chisar v'dileg mechayev l'hachser shein chayev l'hachser v'adilug sham yesh b'braisa v'af b'mishna yisalafem mechisar and varim. He said, you know, often you'll find a braisa that tells you what the missing words are. Right? It's not like so. Rav Tzvi Hoffman said, I don't think this is always true, but bracketing the fact that it's not always true, the Gra says sometimes at least k'suri mechzera. So again, the Gra does, like the first four positions we saw, assume that Rebbe wrote what he meant and meant what he wrote. But unlike the first four, who think that all we're doing is reconstructing Rebbe, the Gra says Chzurei mechzer v'achiktani isn't an act of reconstructing Rebbe or some pre-Rebbe Tana. It's an act of asserting that if the Mishnah would reflect the position we hold, like, this is what it should look like. Meaning, not Chzurei mechzer v'achiktani, this is what Rebbe meant, or Rebbe, pre-Rebbe meant. Chzurei mechzera is, from a halachic perspective, Rebbe's Mishnah is insufficient. V'achiktani isn't, this is how he meant it to be read. V'achiktani is, this is how we should write it. Or this is how we should write it if we were writing it. Right, he's arguing, he's asserting it's a rewrite. Right, we're not reconstructing, we're constructing. Right, we're constructing a new tradition according to a different Tana. Right? He's not saying that the Amoraim are arguing the Tanaim, but he's saying Chzurei mechzera is an act of arguing with Rebbe. Right, okay. So that's already right chipping away at this. It's not again. So which assumptions is he accepting? Which is he not accepting? He accepts the assumption that Rebbe's text
is perfect.
He accepts the assumption that the text we have is Rebbe's text. What he doesn't accept is that the Amoraim are merely trying to reconstruct Rebbe, right? Or in the case of Beis Yosef, or pre-Rebbe Tana, they're saying no. They're constructing what an alternate Mishnah would look like. Right? Our Mishnah is perfect. But we don't paskin like that Mishnah. We paskin like Tana X. And if you want to know what a Mishnah would look like, Reb Shimon Gamliel written the Mishnah, this is what it would look like.
So even your point, like if it read a Braisa or Tosefta, it might be just to support their opinion.
Right, and therefore, what it would be.
Which is what you normally will see.
Correct, right. Correct. And therefore, what it would essentially mean is he's saying, if we were writing the Mishnah, we would have written it as it is reflected in the Braisa, which reflects the position we actually end up postulating like. Right? That's what the Gra is saying. Right? So again, he accepts that Rebbe's text is perfect, but he does not accept that we're trying to reconstruct Rebbe's thought process, but he does accept that we can't argue with Rebbe without a Tana. right? So, right, that's the Gra. The Meiri, and the Meiri I know I've mentioned before, goes much, much farther, because the, at least, even though the Gra is relatively radical in terms of what the words Chazer Mechshava Chitani means, the fundamental assertion that an Amora can't argue on a Tana, at least without another Tana to back him up, all five that we've just seen agree with.
Right.
The Meiri, though, says no. This is proof that it's not true that Amoraim can't, or that Amoraim don't argue with Tanaim. They do, and they can. And it's not rare. It's not just Rav Tanahu Upalig. The Meiri says every time you see the words Chesur Maxav Akhtani, I don't know if every time, many times, I don't know if it works every time, but at least many times, the Gemara is saying like this, not like the first four, and not even like the Gra. They aren't asserting that if I would write it like another Tana, this was what it would look like. They're asserting, we don't paskin like the Tanaim, and we have the right to argue on Tanaim, and therefore, in our right to argue on Tanaim, this is how the Mishnah should read. Not because Rebbe meant what he said and said what he meant. And so did all the other Tanaim. But we don't really care. So we're going to rewrite the Mishnah. And that's Meiri. The Imkol Zen Nitma'atu Alivavot Merov Atzar V'zrach L'achornim L'chaber Achrav Derech Be'orach Archava. Right after the Tanaim, so the Amoraim had to clarify things. Lifamim Derech Stira V'tikun. Sometimes, derech stira v'tikun, right? They had to fix it. What does that mean? So sometimes, masnisin yichidahi. Right? Sometimes it means they would just say, the Mishnah is just a shitas yachid. Meaning, they accepted the Mishnah, but they rejected la halacha. Sami mikan kach v'kach. Or they said, eliminate these words. Now again, the simplest prod I would have just said, right? Not like any of these. Chesur Mechshava Chitani, at least sometimes means that we have a bad girsa, right? Sometimes, not every time. But he goes farther. He says, no, some mikan mikavachach, eina mishnah, chesure mechsura, lav terutze mitaratzta la treitz v'emahachi, v'chein har v'chayotz v'elu, k'moshen asayom af anachnu l'roshenu uskanenu akodmim lanu, v'ovrim lifanenu v'al roshenu. Kimosha Amru Derech Klal Makom Inichelon Vechule Klomar She'ein Hashlemut Nimtza B'Nivcharim Af B'Muvcharim Shebehem. What this teaches you is that nobody is perfect, even the greatest of people. Ad Shalyu Achronim Rasha'in Lachlok Imahem Bikta Dvarim, until they can argue. Right? Later people can argue on the Rishonim, and therefore, at least sometimes Chuzer Mechzera might mean they made a mistake in text, right? Derech Tikkun V'Stira. But sometimes he said, no, it means, and you know, Samimi Khan doesn't mean that's a bad word, right? I think most people understand when it says Samimi Khan, it means there was a textual error, right? Meaning, Howie, just because they don't think the words Chuzer Mechzera V'Hachitini means we have a bad Girsa, they might mean Samimi Khan means it's a bad girsa, right? Cross out those words. It's a textual error. Meiri says, no, samimikan is prescriptive. Erase that, because it's wrong. Not because we think the text is wrong. The text could be totally fine. Samimikan, because we don't paskin like it. Right? Chesuri mechzarachitani is, from a functional perspective, that is incorrect. Right? And Rosh Weiss points this out, right? That this is sort of a very different, right? Meaning, until now, everyone had at least assumed that you can't argue on Tanaim, or at least without another Tana. And Meiri says, no, all these words, Eina, Mishnah, Chesure, Mechzer, Asam, Mimikan, those aren't. Sometimes they might just be textual claims, right? Derech Stira V'Tikun, but sometimes they're substantive arguments, which is, Rebbe was wrong, so Asam, Mimikan, get rid of it. Eina, Mishnah isn't, that was a bad text.
What does that mean? When it says Eino Mishnah Chusrei Mechzera,
he's giving all those examples.
So
right?
Is he saying it's a? So I don't know if he means that it's written correctly, but we don't go by this. Or
actually, I don't know if he means always or sometimes. Right? I think Rav Asher Weiss also says he's not sure if he means always or sometimes. Let me go with sometimes. Right? Because clearly, sometimes some imikan probably means it's a textual error. I assume. Right?
I'm not assuming that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm reading this.
So, look, he definitely reads, at least sometimes, the words Eina Mishnah doesn't mean that was a mistake in Girsa. It's, that's not worthy of being a Mishnah.
Right.
Right? He definitely means that sometimes that's the case. I don't know if he denies that there's ever a case where the Amoraim... I mean, I don't know why he would deny the possibility that we have bad Girsa.
Everyone has, so far.
You're right. I don't know why, but you're right. He doesn't... I mean, it's not totally clear to me. I don't know.
What does Mary say to her Kabbalah?
It's his Akdamah Pirkei Avos.
Oh, it's Akdamah
Pirkei Avos. Yeah. I mean, if you look, Havlin here, right, in his footnotes, right, clarifies what he said. He said, Midivrei Rabbeinu Mashma, Shesamei Mikan, Chesurei Mechzera, Utritz Ve'emahachi V'chadome, Einan Sheyachzor HaChavona Mikorit, Al Divrei Antanayim, Shel Divrei Antanayim. It doesn't mean... reconstruct the meaning of the Tanayim. El machloket al divrehem derech stira v'tikun. It means it's an argument against them in such a way. B'chidushu. I remember I showed this to one of my friends who's doing a PhD in Talmud, and he's like, oh, I gotta turn that into an academic lecture. Like, his goal is to introduce as many lumdish shirim as he can, or classic shirim. So he, like, called it, you know, like, on the intersection with the Beit Midrash and the Academy on, because all the academics think like the Meiri. Right? All the academics say, the Amoraim don't really agree with the Tanaim, they're just paying lip service, right? To put it cynically, right? And he said, oh, you see, the Meiri, I mean, not so cynically, but he says something along those lines, that the Amoraim have the right to argue on Tanaim. And this is when I brought it in this year, and by it 2.5 years ago, or whatever, 2 years ago, right? Which is that there's a big machlokes amongst the Achronim, or Rishon, it starts with Rishonim, but really the Achronim, are Amoraim allowed to argue with Tanaim?
Right.
So Reb Chaim, following the Chesed Mishnah, both say it, say, theoretically, Amoraim can argue with Tanaim. They just don't. They agreed not to.
How can they? You have the whole concept of a Sanhedrin has to be greater than the previous.
Yeah, but not all. There was, but these weren't all formal takanot of Sanhedrins. It was just, right? So he just said they agreed not to. Like, in theory, they could. But they agreed not to. The Chazon Ish says, no, it's not true. It's they were greater. We can't argue with them. Now, of course, why is it that we accept the Mishnah? You're right. You are right that many, this already is found in the Rif. It's found in several versions in the Rishonim that the Stimat HaMishnah was the equivalent of a Sanhedrin, right? Because Kol Chachmei Ador agreed to it, and then again with Stimat HaTalmud. Now, that may be what the Ketzer Mishnah means, right? That an Amora theoretically could have argued with the Tana, but then the Tana all agreed, and that gave it the force of a Sanhedrin, right? That could be what they mean. But it also opens the possibility that they only agreed to accept the Tanaim under certain types of circumstances, or they only agreed to accept the Tanaim in such a case where we couldn't explain it away. Meaning, if it's a deference thing, but not a fundamental thing, so you can always say, look, I can't explicitly argue on a Tana, but if I can in any way, shape, or form explain why I'm not really arguing with a Tana, then even if substantively I probably am, I formally checked off the box, right? I can't say the Tana is wrong, so I'll check off the box. Okay, here's an Ukimta, right? Even if I don't believe in the Ukimta. Now, you're right, Miri doesn't even say that. No. Miri just says, no, the Amoraim never, what are you talking about? The Amoraim didn't accept this. Now, the problem is obviously the Gemara always assumes that unless you're Rav, the Amoraim accept the time. The Miri is like, okay. Well, I don't know exactly what he does. Epstein. This is what Havlin notes. So this is the classic academic approach. That if you look in Mavola Nusach HaMishnah of Epstein, he haga uperush, right? Who sees, and this is your point, one of two things. Chzuri Mechzer is either an editorial comment that there is a mistake, or perush, right? Or an interpretation. Could be either. Divrei Rabbeinu Domim L'Mavosham, V'as Shulchan Shagra, and he said at a certain level this resembles the Gra, right? Which we just mentioned. V'yodea kol chser mechshash v'dalmav v'shib v'shitosav d'lochos r'klal v'seder sh'sdir Rabbeinu HaKadosh v'masizim v'lavur ch'chitzer davar rak the Rebbe Sfir l'chatan v'libi z'sasim v'lochos r'klal libe v'gumar Sfir l'kidachtana v'alibe kamra ha'chimar etc. Ela sh'das Rabbeinu Cholkom harem gam b'li tana ha'sover k'motam. The simple understanding is that the Gra at least accepted that an Amora couldn't argue on a Tana without another Tana. Miri just said, the Gemara can argue on the time if it wants to. And that's all it means. So again, Miri is a bit Mirupal, but Havlin's, you know, and Rav Asher Weiss also thought this is what the Miri meant. He just didn't get it, right? He said it's a kasha, but it seems to be what the Miri meant. And Havlin, you know, definitely thinks what it means, and it is what the academics all think, right? So what do you get? So we had four positions that Pachot or Yoter said Rebbe meant what he said what he meant. And all we're trying to do is reconstruct Rebbe or the pre-Rebbe tradition. Then you have the Gra who said, no, Chzuri Mechzor is actually a constructive act. We can only agree with Tanaim, but we don't have to agree with Rebbe. And therefore, Chzuri Mechzor Achiktani is a construction of a theoretical Mishnah that would reflect a different Tanaitic position. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman's comment that that's not always true.
What's the need for that? If we have a Tana, if we have another source, why do they have to bother reconstructing?
I assume mnemonic. My guess is mnemonic. Right, again. Right, meaning, here's a reinterpretation for the Mishnah to keep in the back of your mind. So the next time you read the Mishnah, you'll have a, you know, it's helpful, right? Because everyone already memorized the Mishnah. Right? It's helpful to say, look, keep in mind that you could reconstruct the Mishnah in such a way that would reflect the actual position. But this way you can memorize the old Mishnah and have in the back of your mind. I assume that's what the goal is, but I'm not sure. Okay, right?
Because anytime I saw that, I assumed that the Mishnah was Rebbe. I assume we're holding halacha like the Breit or the Tosefta, and they're trying to reconcile to say that Rebbe was right, and we just either we were actually missing words or...
So again, I don't think
that's a combination of the Gra and everything else.
Right. So now, I don't know if anyone here
have the benefit of the Gra before.
Right. No. So I don't know if anybody would. I mean, no one here actually, except for Havlin already from the academics, notes the and maybe the Miri notes the possibility that sometimes we're actually just talking about a scribal error. But again, this would require me to go through not just Chazir Mechshav but Sami Mikan, because Sami Mikan, right? Meaning, it's possible that all these people think that Chazir Mechshav doesn't mean that there was a textual error, but they mean Samei Mikan is. I have to look up what is Samei Mikan, right? So just because everyone here thinks that Chzuri Mechzor doesn't mean there could be scribal errors, that doesn't mean they think there are never scribal errors. It just means that they don't think that's what the phrase Chzuri Mechzor Hakhtani means, right? It could mean what Samei Mikan means, right? Mishnah means, or who knows, right? It could be any of the others. We'd have to look through each one. Which we can do at some point. I sort of do it hodgepodge as I like get to it, and then I go through them. I haven't really gone through every one. But then, as we saw, Meiri sort of takes this radical approach that no, that's not what this means. This really means that the Amoraim could and did argue with the Tanaim on an actually somewhat regular basis.
Didn't it go on sometimes argue with the Gemara sometimes, and Sokolov and stuff like that?
What?
Always accept the Gemara to go on them sometimes would change certain things.
Yeah, but again, the question is that because they thought there was a mistake and they were just reflecting another tradition?
We don't know.
We don't know. We just don't know. Okay, what do they want on this source sheet from this Gemara in Nedarim? Okay, what they want here is that just to look at one example quickly, right, that it seems to, I assume what they want here is approach a slightly different perspective. So the Gemara in Darm says as follows, Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Afa wrote to Lahadir's Chaver Shiochel Etzlo, Yomer lo kol neder shani asad lidor kubatel, Bilvad she zachor vishas aneder. If someone wants to, you know, adjure someone to eat by him, he should say, he doesn't want it to be a real neder. So what he does is he said, any neder that I will take is batel, as long as he has that in mind when he makes the neder. So v'chevin da amar kol neder shani asad li dor ye batel lo shamalei velosi ba'day. The Gemara said that second clause is actually a rule for all of life. It's not just about this, it's a rule. Right, kol nidre, right? Essentially, if you want all your nidarim to not work, so make a statement at the beginning of the year. The Gemara then says, "Rav Huna bar Chinna savor l'midrash bepirka." Rav Huna wanted to darshan this in shir. Hey, if all your you want all your nedarim to not count, just make a statement at the beginning of the year, kol nidre, that's it. The Tana hid it, and you want to open it up? Right, you're teaching it publicly. Now, I assume what they want from this is the simple understanding here is like Metzger, right? Is that sometimes at least the Tana didn't want it to be clear, right? I mean. Right, like Metzger, that sometimes at least clear Metzger means the Tana didn't want it to be clear on purpose. Right? Now, this is yet another possibility from this Gemara. If you read it simply, it's not he didn't want it to be clear to force it to be Baal Peh. He didn't want it to be clear so the average Balabas, right, wouldn't know that this existed. He wanted to hide it amongst, you know, everybody else. So that, I guess, is yet another possibility, which is, again, perfect. Rebbe wrote what he meant what he wrote, or no, Rebbe meant to write what he wrote, but he didn't mean what he wrote, right? That's really how you would say it, right? Rebbe meant it to be unclear, right. Not because he wanted an oral tradition, but because he wanted it to be unclear to hide it from you.
So
right?
What's needed here is a whole analysis of every Gemara.
Correct. We'd really have to go through it. We'd have to go through every Chesurim Machzor and Hashas. But considering I didn't even know he was giving shir on this.
Concept as well.
Yes. Considering right. I wasn't even didn't even know he was giving shir on this until just now.
Okay. We had I think with Rabbi Yehuda where he was mutter or something that the rabbi said you couldn't do, and I'm trying to remember. This is I don't know how many months ago. And then we said halacha is actually like him, but
halacha and merin kain, yeah. Okay. Halacha and merin kain, yes, right. Is another example of hiding, yes.
Okay, but correct. They didn't use the words are missing or anything like that.
No, it's just halacha and merin kain, correct. Okay, shkoyach. So. Yeah.